So we're reading today not about the movements of the sun. We're reading about the glories of the holy name. And we're reading from Canto 3, Chapter 33, text number 8. Tvam tvam maham brahma param bhumangsam. Pratyakshrutasyatmani samvibhavam. Vibhavyam svatejasa dvastaguna prabhaham. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Tam Tvam Maham Brahma Param Bhumangsam. Pratyakshrutasyatmani Samvibhavyam. Svateja dvasta guna pravaham. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Tam Tvam Maham Brahma Param Bhumangsam. Pratyakshrutasyatmani Samvibhavyam. Svatejasa Dvasta Guna Pravaham. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Vaishnavas? Hello? Tam Tvam Maham Brahma Param Bhumangsam. Pratyakshrutasyatmani Samvibhavyam. Svam Tejasa Dvasta Guna Pravaham. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Prabhupada said 10 people should chant. We only had one. Should I try the ladies? Vaishnavis?
Tvam tvam aham brahma param bhumangsam.
Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Tam Tvam Maham Brahma Param Bhumangsam. Pratyakshrutasyatmani Samvibhavyam. Svatejasam Dvasta Guna Pravaham. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbham. Tvam, unto him. Tvam, you. Aham, I. Brahma, Brahman. Param, supreme. Pumangsam, the supreme personality of Godhead. Pratakshatasi, turned inwards. Atmani, in the mind. Samvibhavyam, meditated upon, perceived. Svatejasa, this is doing its thing here. By your own potency. Dvashta, vanished. Guna pravaham, the influence of the modes of material nature. Vande, I offer obeisances. Vishnum, unto Lord Vishnu. Kapilam, named Kapila. Vedagarbham, the repository of the Vedas. Okay. It's the wrong verse, but anyway, it's okay. Devahuti, the mother of Kapila, instead of prolonging her prayers, summarized that Lord Kapila was none other than Vishnu, and that since she was a woman, it was not possible for her to worship him properly simply by prayer. It was her intention that the Lord be satisfied. The word pratyak is significant. In yoga practices, the eight divisions are yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Pratyaraha means to wind up the activities of the senses. The level of realization of the Supreme Lord is evinced by Devahuti, is possible when one is able to withdraw the senses from material activities. When one is engaged in devotional service, there is no scope for his senses being engaged otherwise. In such full Krishna consciousness, one can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. And unfortunately, this is the wrong verse, but it's okay. It's my fault, I guess. I wanted to read the one before, so I'm just going to read the verse. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Udhulay Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachayane Nirvishesha Shanivadi Paschachara Satane Mukam Kurati Bachalam Pangam Mangaya Te Girim Yakripa Tvamaham Vande Shri Guru Dhanyatarnam Om Maginanti Mirandasya Ganan Ganal Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Vey Namaha Vanshakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this verse, or these verses I guess, are spoken by Devahuti to Kapila. Kapila had just finished giving Devahuti many instructions, and her request of him at the beginning that started his instructions was, please give me fearlessness. That her husband Kardama Muni had now left. He had promised to give her a son. He did so, and then he left. And Kapila, he was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he appeared in front of his mother and said, basically, how can I serve you? And her answer was, please give me fearlessness. So this idea of fearlessness is something that everybody in the material world is actually looking for. On the negative side, we're always looking for, or on the positive, one way or another, we're looking for happiness. But happiness can't come when there's fear. When there's fear, we can't. It's not possible to be happy. There's a Greek legend about the sword of Damocles. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But there was a sword that was hanging on a horse's hair, thread from a tail of a horse. And so this person was given the privilege of having a last meal. We all like prasadam, right? But if you were taking prasadam with the sword hanging over your head, suspended on one hair of a horse, it wouldn't be so easy to enjoy it, right? Even if the halva was really good and the sweet rice was great and there were many samosas and it was really a yummy feast, but you had this sword hanging over your head, right? And so the happiness is diminished by the fact that there's fear, the fear of death. So in the material world, there's always fear, not only of death, although the death is the supreme one, but in the material world, people push that out of mind, right? Funeral houses are always very pretty, and cemeteries are decorated with flowers. And when people get dead in the West, it's a very quiet thing. They put them in a casket, dress them all up. I was just recently in Toronto, and a very dear friend of mine, her mother passed away. So fortunately, this woman was a devotee, and certainly the daughter was also a devotee, the wife of Shesha Prabhu, Madhamati. And she called me up and she said, "Lakshmi Moni, it's amazing that I'm in Toronto," because she lives in Alachua, "and that you're in Toronto, and Krishna must have arranged this so that you could come and do the funeral for my mother." And I had never done a funeral before in Krishna consciousness, so we planned together, we got some instructions. But the lack of fear in the whole event was a very glorious, very powerful event, very powerful even for the persons who were there that were not devotees. Because devotees understand that there's no need to fear. In the material world, there's no need to fear anything but forgetting Krishna. And once we leave the material world, we're headed for a better place if we've taken up the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Kapila and his instructions to Devahuti impressed upon her the glories of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And here, in these final verses of her prayers and her response to his instruction, is how glorious are those they whose tongues are chanting the holy, your holy name. Even if born in families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed in holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So many years ago, in 1969, Srila Prabhupada, one of my godbrothers, I was there, said to Srila Prabhupada, "So Srila Prabhupada, this qualification, does that mean that I was doing all these things? I must have been a great yogi in my last life." Prabhupada said, "Well, some people come by accident." So we don't only come by accident, we come by mercy. We come by the mercy of the spiritual master and the senior devotees. Just like Kapila is instructing Devahuti, and she sees his mercy as able to give her fearlessness. So also we, by the association of devotees, by the association in particular of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and his followers, we can get fearlessness by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And Srila Prabhupada, he was fearless when he came to the West to give us the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I think all of you know that when Prabhupada arrived in the West, it was very shocking to him. He had never seen anything quite like us. We were kind of a unique breed of subhuman individuals. Prabhupada, there's one verse, I actually lectured from it here just before I left last time I was here. By the way, it's really nice to be back here. Thank you very much for allowing me to come back. But the last time I was here, I lectured from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam on a prayer by Hanuman to Lord Ramchandra. And in the purport, Prabhupada said there were two kinds of men. Do you remember? Maybe some of you were here. Prabhupada said there were only two kinds of men, meaning human beings. There were only two kinds of human beings, those that follow the regulative principles and those that practice bhakti yoga. Everybody isn't following the regular principles or not practicing bhakti yoga, you don't qualify as human beings. So Prabhupada saw all of us and we weren't human beings. And we were from a different race, a different species. I'm not sure what species we were from, but Prabhupada saw us in that condition, very unkempt, very confused about life, bathing once in a while, whether we needed it or not, eating anything, taking all kinds of intoxication, and he saw that, well, he said to pray to Krishna, I don't know why you brought me here. I don't know how my words will get through to them. But you must have had some reason. You must know why you brought me here. So I'm a puppet in your hands. Make me dance. Make me dance. Make me dance, my Lord. Make me dance as you like. So he was fearless. Even though he was in a foreign place with no material amenities, Prabhupada was fearless because he had the holy name and he had the glories. He understood the power of the holy name and he had the shelter of Krishna and his spiritual master, and therefore he was fearless. So in the material world, everyone's looking for fearlessness, even though that's not what they think they're looking for. They think they're looking for material stuff that will satisfy them in the material world, that will make them happy, that will make them comfortable, that will make them enjoy something. But unfortunately, there's always this sword of Damocles hanging over their head. And as much as they try to hide it and keep it from plain view, it's there. And it's a scary thing. You know, death, sickness, disease. As soon as we hear disease, we become in anxiety. We want to go to so many different doctors, find so many different cures. We find that even in devotees' families, when we feel that we're ill, suffering from something, we have as many doctors as we have friends. Every doctor, every devotee becomes a doctor, tells us how we can cure the disease. But Srila Prabhupada really told us how to cure the disease. The disease is the fact that we're in a material body, and if we get rid of that disease, then all other diseases are automatically cured. And the cure for that disease is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Srila Prabhupada had so much faith in that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that even though we had no qualification whatsoever, Prabhupada was sure that by chanting we would become pure. We used to have a song, by chanting he became pure, by chanting he became pure, by chanting he became pure and developed love for Krishna. That was a singing about Maharaj Ambarish, or Magrari the hunter. Magrari the hunter, he was. But by chanting, he became pure. And we can also become pure, even though we come from the Magrari Sampradaya, many of us. We come from that Sampradaya of meat eaters and people who have committed so many offenses in this lifetime, it's impossible to count them. But by chanting, we become pure. And Prabhupada knew that, and so he gave us the chanting of the holy name. And as we chant, the power of the holy name becomes more and more manifested to us. At the beginning, when we come to chant, any chanting is recognized by the Supreme Lord as a great level of advancement. Wow, there's a living entity who's been entangled in the material world, suffering repeated birth and death, and now he's starting to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. So Krishna becomes very pleased and he gives us all benediction. I remember once in Vrindavan in 1974, we were at Fogel Ashram and Prabhupada was there. And my son, who was 4 years old at the time, was chanting Hare Krishna and playing the mridanga. And he was dancing and playing the mridanga, and Prabhupada was watching him. And when the kirtan ended, Prabhupada had his garland given to Nirmal Chandra. And he said in his lecture that he said, just see this boy who's dancing before me. It means he must have been chanting in his previous life. Otherwise, how could he chant so nicely at such a young age? So many of us, we may not have come at such a young age, or maybe we did come at such a young age, never know. But we've taken to this chanting of Hare Krishna, and Krishna is very pleased by that. And so there's a reciprocation there. There's a reciprocation, and Krishna comes and he gives us some mercy. But as we chant over time, Krishna expects us to rise to the occasion. Like if I just meet you and I learn your name, but then I forget it, you forgive me because I just met you and maybe I'm a little old and I don't remember. So you tell me your name again and again. But if after I know you for many years, I don't know your name still, or I mispronounce your name again and again, then you start to wonder, maybe there's something, maybe you don't like me or something, because why is it that after so long, you don't say my name properly or don't remember my name? So when we worship Krishna over time, he expects us that we're going to take shelter of his name, that we're going to chant his name with feeling, with desire to learn. When we first come into the chanting of the holy name, we may not even know why we're chanting. Sometimes, somehow we're attracted to the holy name. Maybe we're attracted to the people who give us the holy name. And so we hear the Hare Krishna mantra and we chant it. And we sing it. We like the music. The music is nice. The mridanga drum, it's a very sweet sound. The sound of the kartals, tatai, tatai, bhajarako. So we like that sound and it takes us to another dimension and we like to chant. It's fun. I sometimes go on preaching engagements to these things called raves. I don't know if they still have raves, but we used to go to raves. They're crazy places with huge, huge speakers and lots of rock and roll music, kind of heavy metal music, kind of like the Woodstock Festival. And then when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, it drowns out everything. You don't hear anything except the Hare Krishna mantra. If you're on stage, you just hear the holy name, and it takes all that mundane sound and it just disappears it. But then as soon as the kirtan ends, all that sound rushes back in. You hear it all. It's like it comes in like a flood. So with us, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're here in the morning program, we're chanting holy name, we're chanting our rounds, our japa. We're worshipping Krishna by chanting kirtan, and especially now there's so many nice devotees here, so the kirtan is really ecstatic, and we have air conditioning now, so even though the windows are closed, we can breathe in here. And and Panchatattva are here, Hare Krishna. So we're in the spiritual world and it's very, very wonderful. But the minute we walk outside, the minute the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra stops, then the material world is there tapping us on the shoulder saying, hey, how about this or how about that? Why don't you try this? You don't want to do that stuff. That's weird stuff. Come and enjoy the material world. Here I have so many things for you, so many opportunities to enjoy on different levels. And we get taken away, sometimes forgetful, of the fact that we're spirit souls and we have a loving relationship with Krishna, and we get lost in Maya. So as we advance in spiritual life, it's very important that we continue to remember that this holy name of the Lord is not an ordinary sound. Golakaya Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. It comes from the spiritual world. And its divine is to give us a power to transcend the material. But in order to really do that, we have to take shelter of the holy name. And there's competition. Maya is there. She's giving us competition. She's trying to draw us away from the material world, from the spiritual world, from the holy name, to make us forget. So it seems that it's very easy. And I was meditating on this the other day, actually yesterday, that sometimes we become discouraged because we're chanting Hare Krishna. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for almost 50 years. And somehow or other, many days I think, 50 years I've been chanting Hare Krishna and I haven't really learned anything about the holy name. I don't see Krishna dancing on my tongue or feel him dancing on my tongue. I don't really see Krishna before me. When I first became a devotee, all of us, actually, all my God brothers and sisters, you ask any of them, they'll tell you that we thought, Prabhupada said it was such an easy process, just chant and be happy, and we thought within 6 months, maybe a year, we'll become pure devotees. Why not? We're practicing Krishna consciousness. We changed our lives so radically. We were doing so many crazy things, and we stopped doing most of them, most of the time. And we were chanting Hare Krishna. We were trying to chant Hare Krishna like anything. Sometimes Jayat Pataka Maharaj, when we were in Toronto in 1970, he would chant outside in front of the temple so loud at 6 o'clock in the morning, and people would call the police that this crazy guy is outside in front of the temple and he's chanting, because we wanted to hear the holy name so badly. We would, you know, we thought the louder we chant, the better we'll hear it. So he was chanting so loud. And Haridas Thakur said, if you chant really loud, then the trees get benefited and the animals get benefited, and even the people who are calling the police, they get benefited. So we thought, let's just chant really loud. So Jai Pataka Maharaj, he still is a big fellow, and he was chanting so loud, Hare Krishna. And the police were calling us up and saying, excuse me, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and the people are not very happy. And so we wrote Prabhupada finally, because he wouldn't stop, and we thought we were going to get thrown out of the building that we were in. And so Prabhupada said, let him go to Mayapur. There in Mayapur, he can chant as loud as he wants. No one will complain. And so ultimately, that's what he did in very short order. He went to Mayapur, and there the chanting of the holy name is growing and growing and growing and reaching the spiritual world. So we thought by chanting really loudly and by taking shelter of the holy name in a week or 2 weeks or 6 months or definitely by a year, we'll be pure devotees. But now here it is, and how not to become somewhat discouraged? To what do you expect from the holy name? What do you want from the holy name? And why isn't coming? Sometimes we feel like we're chanting every day, but something is not coming. So we can become a little bit discouraged, and we sometimes become a little depressed. Sometimes we become frustrated. Why? Why doesn't Krishna reciprocate? But then I was thinking that actually Krishna is reciprocating. What are we expecting? Are we expecting our hairs to stand on end? And sometimes we read about the Shishastakam, or we read about Lord Chaitanya, and he says he has no taste for the holy name. So why I expect to have some taste for the holy name? But he's chanting again and again, begging for the mercy of the holy name, begging for the mercy of the holy name. Even if you handle me roughly by not appearing before me, even if you leave me brokenhearted, whatever you do to me, Krishna, I still want to chant your holy name. And I'm so unfortunate. I have no attraction for it. This is Lord Chaitanya. He's an incarnation of Krishna. I have no attraction for the holy name. And you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, even Haridas Thakur, who was the acharya of the holy name, although he was chanting all the time, he felt in his heart that I can't hear the holy name. I'm not really purely chanting the holy name. And to some extent, this is the impetus for the devotee to go on, to become fully inspired, to try harder to please the Lord. Because as long as there's any desire in our heart to please ourselves, to get some reciprocation, then the full potency of the holy name won't be there. The full potency of the holy name comes only when we have no other desire than to please Krishna by chanting his holy name. And that's a very difficult thing to come to that level, because we're so conditioned, what's in it for me? I've talked about this before with him, what's in it for me? That we come to everything in the material world, and even in the spiritual world, we come, what's in it for me? When we join the Hare Krishna movement, we want relief from material suffering. And the devotees tell us, the pure devotees tell us, the scriptures tell us, if you want relief from suffering, you'll find it if you worship Krishna. So we enter into the Krishna consciousness movement looking for that kind of liberation. Let me out of here. The material world is so suffering. And sometimes we see that by chanting Hare Krishna, we feel a little relief, and then we start to suffer from the association of devotees. We start to find that living in the Hare Krishna temple is a little difficult, right? The brahmacharis and the brahmacharinis who we live with, they become the source of our suffering. And then, you know, it's such an austere environment. Maybe the prasadam is a little not exactly what we had in mind. It used to be great, but now maybe if I had the kitchen myself, I could make it better. And if I had a little bit of space on my own, then I could become more Krishna conscious, because these devotees are so annoying sometimes. They chant funny. And they, you know, they don't do what I want, and they borrow my stuff without asking. And so many different agitations come, and we think maybe better a little away, right? I can chant Hare Krishna on my own. And so then we drift, and we neglect the association of devotees. But actually, the association of devotees is essential to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And by their association, we become purified. Our anartas come out forward, and we see them very clearly. And if we're practicing Krishna consciousness in the right headspace, in the right mindset, in a seeker's mode, as you'll hear Satchidananda Swami say, we'll be able to appreciate that the devotees are helping in this purification process. That they're also in the shower, we're all in the shower together, trying to realize the power of the holy name, trying to make spiritual advancement, trying to help each other when the going gets tough, and trying to inspire each other to keep chanting, to just keep chanting. By chanting Hare Krishna, we will achieve success. Now, Prabhupada had that success, that conviction, even not only for himself. He knew that was chanting Hare Krishna. One day, some devotees were seeing Srila Prabhupada, and he was praying. And Prabhupada, some devotees heard Prabhupada praying, and they came into his room and they said, "Prabhupada, what are you praying for?" Prabhupada said, "I'm praying that I don't fall down." And they said, "But Prabhupada, you said you could never fall down." He said, "That's because I'm praying that I'll never fall down. That's why I can't fall down. Because I keep praying that I'll never fall down, and I keep taking shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, that's why I'll never fall down." So if we don't lose that initial enthusiasm for taking up the Hare Krishna mantra, and we don't lose the initial appreciation of the association of devotees, the relief from the material world, then we'll be able to eventually become purified. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is a very purifying event. In this purport that I didn't read, it says, "The holy name has to be chanted to please the Supreme Lord and not for any sense gratification or professional purpose." Now, this concept, not for any sense gratification, that also means not for our own sense gratification, not to please ourselves. We have to chant Krishna's name to please Krishna. We have to chant Krishna's name so that Krishna will hear our sincere desire to please him. And this is inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method of chanting Hare Krishna. He gave us the chanting of Hare Krishna in the age of Kali because we needed a very simple process. The age of Kali is a very difficult time. And so the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is a very simple process. But sometimes it's not so easy. It's very simple. Chanting Hare Krishna, three words, Hare Krishna Rama, not so hard. But keeping our mind fixed on the purpose of the chanting of Hare Krishna, to make Krishna happy, is not so easy. Because everybody in the material world is telling us we should be happy by getting this or that or the other thing, that we have to make ourselves happy. That's our job. That our job is finding pleasure. And so we come to the Hare Krishna mantra looking for that pleasure. But if we keep looking for that pleasure instead of trying to give Krishna pleasure, we'll never really realize the ultimate goal of chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, there'll be purification there. And over time, that purification will inspire us to come higher and higher and higher and higher. But if we really, really, really want to get the nectar of the holy name, if we really, really want to understand the power of the holy name, then we have to be willing to take risks, and we have to be willing to make sacrifices, and we have to be willing to chant the holy name like a child crying for its mother, and with the ultimate desire of pleasing Krishna, pleasing the spiritual master. The reason Srila Prabhupada was able to distribute the holy name all over the world is because he simply wanted to please his spiritual master. There was nothing in it for him. Right? There was nothing in it for him. Actually, he left a place where the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was so easy. He was in Vrindavan. And Vrindavan at the time wasn't like Vrindavan now either. Right? There were no honk, honk, beep, beep, chuck, chuck, no, so many crazy. She was just telling me, Ishani Mataji was telling me how Vrindavan is very difficult now. So noisy and so crazy, and the trucks are there, and it's not so safe. People getting bothered by the Brijbasis. And really, when Janavi, you know her, she was chanting here the last time I came for the Harinam festival, and she was one day, she was walking on the Parikrama Marg, and somebody came by on a bicycle, on a motorbike, and grabbed her bag and kept going, and eventually she had to let it go, otherwise it would have dragged her on the floor. So they stole her purse and her everything, and she lost quite a bit of things in that event. So these things are happening now in Vrindavan, but when Prabhupada was there, it was peacocks and parrots and trees and grass and bells and aartis and the chanting of the holy name everywhere, not muffled by the sounds of honk honk, beep beep, and people getting their glasses stolen and so many crazy things. So Prabhupada was in that Vrindavan Dham, and he came to the West. And I've said this many, many times, because I can't, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the desire that Prabhupada had to share the holy name, to follow the order of his spiritual master, to give the chanting of Hare Krishna to others. The risk he took that when he came to the West, with nothing, no place to live, no money, no direction, just completely faithful to the chanting of the holy name, and completely aware that Krishna, if you're pleased, then everything will be fine. And because of that attitude, Prabhupada was able to constantly taste the holy name. He never felt alone, never. He always felt the companionship of Krishna. He always knew Krishna was with him. He always knew that Krishna would protect him. He always knew that whatever happened, Krishna would take care. He wasn't performing the holy name. He didn't do a show. He wasn't there to, you know, sell tickets and chant nicely so that people would clap at the end. We have now this habit all the time of clapping at the end of classes, at the end of kirtans. But Prabhupada, no one ever clapped when Prabhupada spoke. Instead, their hearts changed. I'm not to say that maybe you're clapping and your heart is changing. I'm not saying no. But Prabhupada never wanted accolades. He never wanted us to recognize that he was such a good chanter, or he was such a, you know, awesome cook, or he whatever. Although he did all those things. He was an awesome cook, and he was an awesome chanter. But he wasn't into, that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to glorify the Supreme Lord. And by glorifying the Supreme Lord, everything happened. Everything happened. Because Krishna is in everyone's heart, and Krishna is the one who cheto dharbanomar. He's the one who cleans the heart. He's the one who gives us the attachment to the holy name, the hearing of the holy name. And by the attitude that we enter into the chanting of the holy name, the love of Krishna comes. I was speaking here, maybe, I don't know, I speak many different places, and maybe here I even mentioned that many, many people, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, there were three people who heard Bhagavad Gita. There was Krishna who heard it, there was Sanjaya who heard it, there was Sanjaya who heard it, and it was Dhritarashtra who heard it. So Arjuna heard it from Krishna, who was a god, and Sanjaya, who was a pure devotee, he spoke it to Dhritarashtra. And they all heard the same glories of the Supreme Lord. They all heard that powerful message of Bhagavad Gita. But Arjuna's heart changed in the process of hearing the holy name. And at the end he said, Kriyasye vachanam tava. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Right? For the beginning he was reluctant. At the end, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to fight, I'll fight. If you want me to chant, I'll chant. If you want me to suffer, I'll suffer. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And Sanjaya, when the Bhagavad Gita ended, he said his hairs were standing on end. He was totally in ecstasy, and he was saying that wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there's certainly victory. There's everything that's necessary in order to achieve spiritual success. But Dhritarashtra, when Dhritarashtra heard the whole the Bhagavad Gita, his reaction was different. He thought, that Krishna, he's such a rascal. If he wouldn't have interfered with this event here by preaching to Arjun, Arjun would have not fought, and then the battle would have been over, my sons would have taken over the kingdom, and everything would have been fine, and I wouldn't have been blamed for it. It's all Krishna's fault. The whole fact that this battle is going to take place, it's all Krishna's fault. Because he interfered. If he wouldn't have interfered, Arjuna would have quit, and then the whole thing would have been off. Yudhisthira would have said, forget it, and they would have just gone back to the forest, and everything would have been fine. But the attitude, all these three people, they all heard the same Bhagavad Gita, but it didn't have the same effect. So depending on how we hear, depending on the attitude that we hear, then that will determine how much nectar we get from the holy name. So we have this holy name festival, the opportunity to hear the holy name, and you'll see, I think you've already been listening sometime to Satchinandana Swami speak. He's a connoisseur of the holy name, selflessly chanting the holy name. Every year he takes time out and just goes somewhere to just hear the holy name. The rest of the time he's vigorously preaching about the glories of the holy name. And austerities are there. But the desire is to give the holy name to others because that pleases Krishna. And to chant the holy name because that pleases Krishna. To hear the holy name because that pleases Krishna. And when we're in that mood, then all auspiciousness comes. So during this time, we should really make a concentrated effort to try and please Krishna by the chanting of the holy name. We can change the world. If Srila Prabhupada could change New York City, we could change Slovenia. Or whatever, wherever we're from. Maybe some of you are. I see some people aren't here from Slovenia. Maybe they've come from a little far. But we have the power connecting to the holy name and connecting to the Vaishnavas and connecting to the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. But only if we connect and have faith in Krishna. There's a nice story from the Ramayana that Lord Ram, he noticed that all the monkeys were writing the holy name of Ram on the rocks and throwing them in the water, and then they were floating. So he was thinking, well, they're writing my name on the rocks. What if I threw the rocks in the water? Then they wouldn't have to work so hard. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I could just throw the rocks in the water and I could make the bridge while they're sleeping. So he went to the river, ocean, and in the night he took a rock and he threw it into the water, a big boulder, and it sunk into the river. So Hanuman, he was seeing that Ram was walking somewhere and he was thinking, where is he going? So he followed him and he saw him throw the rock into the water and it sunk. So he said, you see, I see you're trying to test the power of the holy name, but the power of the holy name is even greater than you. The holy name, your holy name, has more power than even you. That by writing your holy name on the rocks, all the rocks are floating because the devotees are trying to please you. The combination of the holy name and their desire to please you, and the rocks are floating. So Ram had to concede that the holy name, when uttered by somebody whose sincere desire is to please him, is more powerful. It's more powerful. Just like Radharani's love for Krishna is more powerful than even Krishna had to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste that love of Radharani. Because her desire to please Krishna was so strong that even Krishna wanted to know, how is it that she's enjoying like that? Even I can't enjoy like that. So the holy name, when administered by the devotee who has no desire but to please Krishna, is so powerful it can change the world. And the devotee who is trying sincerely to chant the holy name in that mood, that devotee is going to have that power, is going to experience that shelter of Krishna. So we have the opportunity, accelerated in the next few days, to touch that power, to feel that desire to please Krishna by chanting his holy name. And if we go into this festival with that desire, not to enjoy, not to have a good time, not to, you know, all that'll be there. But the devotee doesn't necessarily have that desire. That desire is secondary or thirdary or whatever. How do you say it? I don't know. How to go down. That desire is not primary in the devotee's life, that I want to have fun chanting Hare Krishna. I want to offer this, my chanting of the holy name to Krishna, to show him that I want to please him, and I know he's pleased by the chanting of the holy name. And if I can approach him in a holy, in a humble state of mind, with no other desire than to render service, then hopefully he'll be satisfied. And in his satisfaction, I'll automatically be satisfied. And that was Prabhupada's gift to us, that he showed us that nothing, I don't need anything. I don't need money, I don't need, well, beauty, I don't need Krishna. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Najanam, Nadanam, Dasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha, Kamae, Mama, Janmani, Janmani, Ishvara. Prabhupada did it. He came with nothing. And he showed us that I don't need anything. All I need is the holy name. And by just giving you the holy name, by encouraging you to chant the holy name, and by chanting the holy name for Krishna's pleasure, the whole world can become Krishna conscious. So during this festival, we should take advantage of that opportunity to please Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, everything else will automatically come. Hopefully we'll all get that opportunity. And when the Holy Name Festival is over, the Holy Name will still reverberate in our heart. And the desire to please Krishna by chanting his holy name will become renewed. Our vigor, our enthusiasm for chanting Hare Krishna will remain or become stronger and stronger. So I think it's time for me to stop. And maybe we can handle a few questions if there's time. I don't know. I'm like, the clock is gone now. The holy name is in front of me. Hare Krishna. Yes.
You spoke about fearlessness.
Yes, fearlessness.
Lord Chaitanya says it's the greatest gift one can get.
It's fearlessness.
Material world, and as you indicated later, it is probably connected to being desireless in material sense, because if you are desireless, you have nothing to lose.
Right, exactly.
This is probably connected to the realized knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, that's a very, very important point, that when we don't want anything, then we can't lose anything. And all fear comes from losing things.
And but I wanted to ask, what about some legitimate pursuit, if there is one for some material happiness? Because Krishna is quite radical in Bhagavad Gita. He says, be fearless when approaching me. But when he speaks about happiness, he says, there is no happiness without fixed mind. I mean, without peace, without peace. There is no peace without fixed mind, and there is no fixed mind without being connected to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, only through me you can get any happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are grihastha and not so much connected to Krishna, what is your legitimate pursuit for what is with this medium state?
Okay, well, okay, everyone has the right to be fearless. Everyone has the right to be fearless. Grihasthaness is not a disqualification for being fearless. There are many great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were grihasthas, and they were pure devotees. Srivas Pandit, Srivas Acharya, he was... Lord Chaitanya asked him, how is it that you're not working outside and every night you're having all these devotees over for chanting Hare Krishna? And he clapped his hands three times. He said, if I clap my hands three times and I don't get everything I need to maintain myself and my family, then I'll just jump in the Ganga. So Lord Chaitanya said to him, don't worry, you'll always have everything you need, you just chant Hare Krishna. And he promised him that everything he needed would be taken care of. So fearlessness is not contingent on one's ashram or one's material whatever. there's a really nice, well, so many nice stories of so many devotees who actually were completely absorbed in the holy name, and their material things came or didn't come. And in so many different ashrams, you got Golovitcha Sridhar, he had nothing. He had the holy name and nothing. He was chanting Hare Krishna, and the locals thought that he was screaming because he was hungry. But he was actually taking shelter of the holy name. They thought he's just screaming because he hasn't eaten so long. He has a stomach ache, you know. But he was chanting the holy name in ecstasy. So there's no material qualification or disqualification. Fearlessness just means I do my duty, and Krishna can do his duty. He can take it away. He can give it to me. He can give me wealth. He can take it, give me poverty. He can give me health. He can give me death. Whatever he gives me, I know it's for my welfare. And if we have that faith that Krishna, whatever he gives me, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, that's okay. I have that faith. And that faith is what gives fearlessness. When I'm confident that Krishna will catch me no matter what, then I'm confident. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't, it's not you that we don't act. Like when that devotee, that person who Prabhupada was cultivating, was living with on the East Village, he came at Prabhupada with a knife. Okay, so because he was intoxicated and he was a crazy person. So Prabhupada had to run out of the house. It's not that Prabhupada stood there and said, okay, stab me, Krishna will take care, no problem. He did what he had to do to leave. But still, he stayed in New York and he still continued to preach Hare Krishna. Chanting of Hare Krishna. Even that boy, he tried to give him the chanting of Hare Krishna and prasadam and so many things, even though he was a crazy guy. So fearlessness doesn't manifest itself in stupidity. It manifests itself in doing what's needed. But at the same time, understanding I may do my best, and materially it may not appear very good. Just like so many devoted people say, get a job. You know, you're an IT professional. How come you're just chanting Hare Krishna now? You know, why did you give up your opportunity to make so much money? But, you know, the devotees know that that's not really what they need. And they're fearless that I'll just surrender to Krishna and everything will be taken care of. And if Krishna wants to give me millions of dollars, he will. I don't have to do something else. I just have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna will take care. Is that helpful? Hare Krishna. And yes, Prabhu.
Why do you holy name is more powerful than Krishna?
The holy name is more powerful than Krishna because Krishna made his name more powerful than him. He likes to hear his holy name. And not only the holy name, but the holy name chanted by somebody who has a sincere desire to make that offering, to please Krishna. That combination is extremely powerful. The love of the devotee and the holy name of the Lord. Confirm. So, that combination is so powerful that it attracts Krishna. There's a description in Nectar of Devotion, Sri Krishna Karshani, that when one engages in devotional service, and the easiest and most sublime devotional service is chanting the holy name of the Lord, then it attracts Krishna himself, and Krishna becomes the servant of that person, that devotee, who is desiring purely to serve Krishna. So that combination of the holy name and the devotee's desire to serve Krishna makes Krishna a servant. How powerful is that? That you make the holy, that you make the Supreme Personality of Godhead your servant. That's why Krishna is known as Bhaktivatsal. One of his most coveted qualities, his most powerful qualities, his most wonderful qualities is that he will serve the devotee who tries to serve him. He becomes bound to serve the devotee that tries to serve him. And the best way to serve Krishna, the easiest way to serve Krishna is the chanting of the holy name, especially in Kali Yuga. The chanting of the holy name Krishna gives us, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular gives us, so that it's easy, because for us it's not so easy to do anything. So at least the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is easy. And we can chant with that attitude. That attitude is what makes the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra successful. Is that helpful? I see on your face not. Only Krishna is inconceivable in the sense that he can do whatever he wants. So that holy name is Krishna. They're achinta bheda bheda tattva, which means simultaneously one and different. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. There's another example, again, from the Ramayana that it was funny that Narada Muni was talking to one person who was a pious man, but he was a businessman. So he was a very, very busy businessman. And Narada came to him and said, "Why don't you chant Ram Nam? Why don't you chant the holy name?" He said, "I don't have any time. I'm so busy. I have my family. I have my business. I'm so busy. I don't have any time to chant Hare Krishna," or Ram Nam in this case. So he said, "Well, listen, I have a solution. You can chant in the toilet. When you go to the toilet, you can chant because you have to go anyway, and you're not doing business and you're not taking your family at that time. So just chant." He said, "Okay, that's a good idea. I'll do it." So he was doing that for a long time, and he was chanting very sincerely, "Ram, Ram, 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 Ram." And he was chanting so loudly every time he'd go to the bathroom. Okay, so one day Hanuman was flying, he heard the holy name, Ram, Ram, Ram. He thought, "Where is this holy name coming from? I'm hearing the name of my Lord." And he went looking everywhere, and the first place he went to was the temple. No one was in the temple. He went to the temple room in the house. And then he looked all around the house. He didn't hear. He kept hearing the holy name. He couldn't, looking, he couldn't find who's chanting. So then he heard that it's coming from the toilet. The toilet's outside, you know. So he went to the toilet room, and there's this holy name, and he said, "Who is this guy? He's chanting my Lord's holy name in the toilet. I'll teach him a lesson." So he waited outside, and the man came out, and he slapped him in the face. Hanuman, you know. So then he went away, and the man was thinking, "Oh, I finally got the mercy of Hanuman from chanting the name of Ram. Now I know Ram is being merciful to me, and I'll chant more often." But Hanuman went back to Ram, and he was just going to see him. He was so angry. And when he got there, Ram's face was all swollen, and he had a big handprint on his face. So Hanuman said, "My Lord, what happened?" He said, "Oh, somebody hit me." He said, "You tell me who he is. I'll beat him up. Well, how could he hurt my Lord? That's ridiculous. Tell me who this person is." So he said, "It's you." He said, "What do you mean? Me? I would never do such a thing, my Lord. How can you say that I hit you?" He said, "You slapped my devotee, was chanting my holy name. And when you hit him, my name and I are non-different. And you hit my face." So the holy name and the Supreme Personality are non-different. But for the benefit of the devotees, Krishna invests his power in the holy name. And you have hundreds and thousands of names like Krishna and Govinda, right? You have invested all your power in the chanting of the holy name. That's what Lord Chaitanya says. So this is, it's simultaneously one and different. You can't say, how can it be? Because by Krishna's desire, it can be. And when it's combined, when it's used in the service of the Lord, then it becomes extremely powerful. Is that better? Maybe. Hare Krishna. Okay, we should stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.